the critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Eryou.
We are the TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And today, Brandi, we're doing something a little bit different. New year, new pod, new BFFs.
Yeah, new year, new pod, new BFFs. I'm very, very excited.
So today, this is our first in a 4 or 5 episode, probably 5 episode installment, where we're going to do recapping The Traitors season 2. This is a reality show that premiered last year on Peacock and kind of took the reality competition world certainly by storm. It's now been done in tons of other countries. I think there's UK for sure, there's Australia, there's all sorts of different versions of the franchise. And this season, I think, has been really kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, Brandi? What about season 2 of The Traitors have you noticed? Like, for me, it's been like hotly anticipated.
Well, as a person that did not watch the first season, I was told to watch it by both Dan and favorite BFF guest, Darren Karp, that I should be watching it. And it was on my list, but I never watched it. But now I'm watching it. I came into this season like not really knowing anything about the show. So I learned everything about the show from the first episode. And I love it. I love it.
It's a real trip. It's a lot of fun. Before we go too much further, let's bring in our guest for this episode. He is a reality TV expert, really. There's no other way to put it. He's been on the show before. You know him, you love him. Please welcome Chris Burns.
Yay.
What's up, Chris?
Hello. I don't know how I feel about being a reality TV expert, to be honest, but...
Listen,
we don't choose our paths.
Exactly. Sometimes we just do what we're good at, whether we like it or not, you know? Chris, what was your experience with Traitors season 1 before we get into season 2 and the casting of it all? Did you watch season 1 last year as it was airing? Did you catch up later? What was your vibe with the Traitors?
I watched while airing and I was living, obviously. I loved season 1. I even emailed the casting director being like, I want to be on the show. But then they cut any regular people, which I don't love, but I get because... Well, I don't want to spoil season 1, Brandi, because you haven't watched it.
No. You can spoil it, though. Like, I mean, I feel like I already know who won. So,
yeah. So from here on out, let's just make it plain. We will be spoiling The Traitors season 2. Obviously, the first 3 episodes are out. So we'll talk in depth about episodes 1 through 3 of season 2, but also light spoilers for season 1 as well, because you kind of can't talk about one without the other. Because it definitely influences it. Let's talk about what The Traitors is, though, first, in case you're coming to this and you don't know what The Traitors is. Before we spoil anything, we'll just give you a little bit of the vibe. So The Traitors is a reality competition. And what I love about it is you can sum it up pretty quickly, Brandi, for like a pretty dense format. It's actually pretty easy to share, like, okay, what is this show?
I'll give you that. But it also is like insane. But continue.
Yeah, they mix it up as they go along as well.
Yeah.
But the core format is basically 20 or 21 in this case. 20 people arrive at this big castle in Scotland. And
Alan Cumming.
Alan Cumming is your host.
Also, can we stop pretending like Alan Cumming's outfits are all a sleigh? I can't handle everyone being like, oh my God, what an amazing outfit. I'm like, that's the ugliest fucking skirt I've ever seen.
Like when he came out in the shorts that were like half like
horrible.
Horrible. No, but you are right. And like it's like, guys, sometimes it's okay to just not say anything.
It's
right.
Like these housewives being like, yes, we love it. I'm like, no, you fucking don't. You do not love it.
But The Traitors, so Alan Cumming is your host. 20 people show up at his quote unquote castle, and a number of people are selected traitors on day 1. 2 or 3 people are selected traitors. And then it's the traitor's job to make it to the end of the game by murdering people every night. So every morning, someone doesn't come down to breakfast and someone is murdered by the traitors. And then during the day, the whole house works together to build the money for the prize pool. And then at the end of the day, there's a banishment at this round table where the whole house, faithful, who are the non-traitors and traitors together, come together and vote someone out with the goal of ousting the traitors. And the eventual end game is, if the faithful get rid of all the traitors, the people that make it to the end split the money. If a traitor gets to the end or more than one, the traitors take or split the money if they get to the end and they can deceive everybody to the final moment. So that's kind of the basic format, which has a little bit of the mole, has a little bit of like that mafia party game. Like it has elements of other shows, but I think that's kind of what makes it work. What do you guys think? Just like
season one had like half celebrities and half non-celebrities. So right. I think getting rid of that, because at the end of season one, obviously Suri wins, but it's like her and two non-reality TV people. So it was like kind of devastating to watch. And even for Suri, I felt like it was really devastating. I think it's just a lot easier to like cut people's throats when you know that they also would do it. Like, I feel like getting rid of taking the money, especially because I'm like Larsa, for example, you're worth $20 million. Why are we giving Larsa money?
I mean, to me, the so my thing about the format is my first question is like, what happens if they do get all the traitors? Do you think that'll ever happen?
So they have to like all agree that they've gotten them. At least season one, it was like
they have to like agree to end the game.
The game doesn't end until they're like, okay, it's just the three of us and we're all faithful. Yeah. And that's what happened at the end of season one. And they're like, yes. And then Suri is like, actually, I'm not.
Oh.
And then I also watched the UK version, which was all normies, no celebrities. So I think it needs to go all one or all the other, because the UK first season was also really, really good and really, really compelling. They had some really great characters. I won't spoil how that one ends, but it is slightly different from the USA version. Let's talk about our cast, though, because I don't think we can talk much more about season two without talking about our cast. The show certainly cares more about some people than others. I mean, like, I don't think I've heard Kevin say more than three words.
Or MJ. I feel like MJ didn't pipe up until...
MJ barely gets anything.
I know, MJ's been very, very not in there. But you know who's been there a lot, and I'm not into them, and let's just go there first, is Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan.
Yes.
Guys, what are they? What is that? Like, what?
Also, I'm like, obviously one of them is not a traitor, because they wouldn't kill each other. So I'm like, why are they there? Like, nobody is ever going to think that Larsa's a traitor.
And they try and come in and be like, we're playing individual games and we're definitely not going to look out for each other. And then like, you know, certain things transpire and people are in literal tears. I'm like, okay, that was never going to be the thing.
They were, when filming, must have only been dating for like 3 months at the time.
Right.
Because where they are on Housewives, they've only been together for like 6 or 7 months and they're obsessed with each other. So I bet she just wouldn't go without him. And they were like, it'll be fun to have Michael Jordan's son.
Which he definitely like mentioned at least twice.
They let us know. Did you know that Jordans love to compete and the Jordans are competitive?
Very competitive.
Were you aware?
Well, Moses said that he was like, do you think that Marcus Jordan is doing this reality TV run because he's trying to extort money from his dad? He's like, give me more money and I'll stop doing this. Because he's like currently like on Housewives. And like, he's like, he's in interviews with Larsa on Housewives.
And when they ask anything about Marcus's dad on Housewives, she is always like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Because I'm sure Michael Jordan's like, don't talk about me on fucking Housewives.
Right.
Especially because of the whole Scottie Pippen of it all also.
Yeah.
But anyway, Larsa's doing better than I thought she was going to do, to be honest.
Yeah.
She's getting a lot of screen time and she's making some waves. So I'm looking at like the literal Peacock email about like, get ready for Traitor season two.
Mm-hmm.
They distilled everything really nicely for her. So they describe the reality stars as Mercedes, MJ from Shaws of Sunset, Tamra from Housewives of Orange County.
Who's also a nightmare.
I literally, one of my notes is, I fucking hate Tamra.
Tamra tweeted like the Traitor season two comes out tomorrow, and Vicky, who was her best friend on Housewives and they got in another fight or something recently, tweeted back at her being like, perfect show for you.
They're fighting.
But Tamra is like a fucking liar. I wouldn't trust Tamra for one second.
Not for one second.
That makes good Traitors casting, though. You want the liars, you want the scoundrels, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm thrilled that she's there.
Yeah.
But I hate
She makes sense, but she's, ugh.
We also have Larsa, who we mentioned. We have Sheree Whitfield from Housewives of Atlanta.
I love Sheree.
Living for her.
Phaedra Parks from Married to Medicine. Was Phaedra...
Obsessed.
Phaedra's
been around, honey.
Has she been a housewife or has she always been Married to Medicine?
Yes. No, she was a housewife. And then she was kicked off of the Housewives because of
Candy Burris.
Some lying allegations that she made.
Candy Burris like wouldn't film with her, so they kicked her off, and now this is her first season on Married to Medicine, which she's not even married to medicine. She's dating a doctor who refuses to appear on camera. Who lives in a different country. But I love Phaedra, and she's like a lawyer. She's smart. She was also on Girls Trip.
This is where I remember watching clips of her on Girls Trip. That's it. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm loving her so far. I think she's great.
And she also like look up her iconic, just like literally Google Phaedra iconic moments. And there's so many compilations on YouTube of her. Like they don't know what they're dealing with yet. I don't think.
Yeah, they really don't.
Dan being like, I can like basically get her to do what I want. I'm like, you have no idea.
Yeah, no, like Dan just basically saying the quiet part out loud, like, oh, I'm just gonna be able to walk right on over her. And I was like, she's...
Let's be clear. We're talking about a different Dan, not me. Talking about Dan, what's his last name? I don't care. Dan from Big Brother. Other Big Brothers, we have Janelle from Big Brother. I don't know any of the Big Brother people.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't watch Big Brother. I never really liked them.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, if this is who I'm choosing from on Big Brother, like I don't want to see a whole cast of people on that show.
Yeah. And Rachel last season, I fucking couldn't stand her either. And she was Big Brother.
Who else we got? So we do have some challengers. We have Trishelle from The Challenge, Johnny Bananas, CT. Mm-hmm. Definitely have my eyes on those folks coming in as huge Challenge fans. Mm-hmm. Ekansu from Love Island UK, Maxim from Dancing with the Stars.
That was a wild card for me.
Why?
Right?
Why?
That felt like someone dropped out and they're like, oh shit, we need to pull up an alternate, I guess.
I'm like, you must not have gotten my email.
Are we calling that a reality show? I mean, I guess it is.
I guess.
It's bizarre.
Peter Weber from The Bachelor, which I forgot he was on The Traitors. Like, he kind of taking up space.
I'm upset that I find him like incredibly attractive.
I'm upset about that too, Brandy.
Yeah.
Who else? We have a couple survivors, Sandra Diaz-Twine and Parvati Shallow from Survivor. Big fans of both of those women going in, like absolute icons. Who am I missing? I'm missing Peppermint.
Peppermint.
From RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm missing Deontay Wilder, the former boxing heavyweight champion. Another Why Are You Here? But okay.
Another Why Are You Here? But thank you.
John Bercow, former Speaker of the UK House of Commons.
What? This is the one.
I'm like, why is John, like, the former Speaker of the House fighting with Tamra fucking Judge across the table? I'm like, what is happening to this world?
We'll get into it, but, like, his run.
He gets one instance of yelling, order! He gets one instance of that in these whole first three episodes. And then Kevin Kreider from Bling Empire.
Poor Kevin.
Okay.
Why poor Kevin? I don't watch Bling Empire. Who's Kevin?
No, I mean, it was just poor Kevin for me just from this show. I was just like, he just seems like so boring and cute.
on Bling Empire, he is poor Kevin as well. He's like the only one who's not from a rich family. So I guess he's literally and figuratively poor Kevin. But he like is just really sad all the time. Like, it's always like girls are breaking up with him and he's upset and very downtrodden. He's always like reevaluating his career as a model because he's almost 40 and he's like, I feel like if I haven't made it yet, I'm not going to. And probably.
Oh, poor Kevin.
But yeah, I don't know what he's doing there. I can't imagine he's gonna do very well.
But we'll find out. The thing about The Traitors is really anyone can like take the spotlight, anyone can cast aspersions, then all of a sudden, like, kind of jump up and become relevant in a moment on the show. So, shall we get into these episodes, these first three episodes?
Yeah, let's get into it.
So, the first episode already hooked me within the first 10 minutes. So, like, they show up, players are arriving, they tease a little bit of Parvati versus Sandra. They tease a little bit of the Big Brother people and their connection, the Challenge people and their connection. Cast is mingling. Alan Cummings comes out, giving the spiel and like telling everybody what The Traitors is. And then he literally name drops BFFs. And that was the moment where I'm
really
like,
amazing. This,
I knew that we were onto something. This is why we're recapping the show. He says, be warned, in this game, there are no BFFs. Unless, of course, BFF stands for betrayers, fakes and fraudsters. And I'm like, okay, we're in.
I love it.
Then they enter the castle, they're scoping it out.
Let's just say that the real world people go straight to the bar
real world
and then acknowledge
the
that the real world people have gone straight to the bar.
We continue to like pump up this like Sandra Parvati drama. There is backstory there. So if you're not a Survivor person.
Yeah, I'm not a Survivor person. So what's the deal with them?
So they were both, initial seasons were both kind of iconic and considered some of the best. And then Parvati came back for a season, Survivor spoilers here, for Fans vs. Favorites, and she won. And then she came back again for Heroes vs. Villains, season 20, which is widely regarded as like the best season of Survivor season of all time.
Amazing.
Sandra was also on that season. The two of them went to the final three. Sandra beat Parvati in the final tribal. But ever since then, there's been like a long running debate of whether Parvati actually deserved that win. Did Sandra steal it from her? Who is the rightful queen of Survivor? So there's been like, and they'll feud with each other kind of lightly over social media from time to time. So like there is a real kind of quote unquote feud. I don't know if they actually dislike each other, but like they know how to lean into it for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Sandra has won twice, but Parvati has played, I think, like more days of Survivor than any other person on Survivor.
Yeah, they're both iconic.
She's done like 148 days or something of Survivor.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're both iconic. Sandra, I think Sandra, yeah, I don't want to skip ahead, so I won't.
Okay.
It took me like a little too long to realize that Sandra was wearing braces and did not have a grill.
If we're saying it, listen. Do you think that she knew that she was going on the show? I'm like,
Invisalign.
I guess it's a lot to take on and take off, but even the way she talks is different because of them.
I felt like, yeah, because like,
I feel for her.
Yeah. And as someone who is just meeting her and getting to know her for the first time, like, this is how I know her now. Do you know what I mean?
Well, she's also like, on Survivor, she's known, like, she'll sit out of as many challenges as she can. Like, she literally will just sit back until it is time to, like, cut somebody's face. And then she'll just, like, step in and she's, like, so good at being manipulative. It's insane.
But passively so. So I think that's what's fascinating about the Parvati versus Sandra. So Sandra was known, like, her classic thing is anyone but me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she'll have alliances, but when it comes down to it, she's looking out for number one, anyone but me. And she kind of floats her way to the end, but doesn't really piss people off, really. Mm-hmm. Whereas Parvati is like a much more in-your-face player. She, in her second season, Fans vs. Favorites, she started the, quote, Black Widow Brigade, a group of women who systematically, like, kicked out a bunch of men, but, like, is very flashy, is very flirty, is a much more, like, hard, quote-unquote, player. Mm-hmm. So, like, they have very different vibes, even though they're both very successful at the show.
Got it.
We also get my favorite moment, probably maybe of this whole first episode, was CT and Phaedra at the wall. And just
I love that Phaedra loves CT so much.
Me too.
And just like cluing CT in on like the Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan of it all. And like he's just clearly oblivious, like out of his depth in this game for sure. But I thought it was hilarious.
Well, Kevin didn't even know that The Challenge was a show that's ever been on television.
Kevin not knowing The Challenge was hilarious. Like
Kevin,
Janelle's like, oh yeah, they're challengers, and like, what do you mean, what's the challenge?
Like, girl,
what rock do you live under?
You got on the show and you didn't think like maybe let me Google some things.
Who else is like, who are these other people? Like, how am I going to stand out? Like, okay.
Yeah. And then we get into like the first big like format element. They go into the round table. There's 21 people crammed around this table. It looks hilarious. And it's time for Alan to pick his traitor. So he like intense music, he circles the table a couple of times. And legit, a shocking moment. He only picks two people. He picks Dan from Big Brother, and he picks Phaedra, an early favorite of this group here. Chris, you've seen previous seasons, or at least the first season. I was kind of like, whoa, okay, only two. They're clearly going to like milk figuring out who the third traitor is for a while here. I was kind of into it, though.
Oh, so last season they didn't do that? They just picked the three right away?
Three right away last season, yeah.
I was like waiting. I thought maybe we didn't see him pick the third, so it was going to be like a reveal.
Oh yeah, that could have been cool.
Yeah, I mean, I wish there was three just in the moment because I wanted to see the third person, but it was a fun way that they did it. So and I think that as like traitors, if they get picked off, like sometimes they'll make other people traitors like halfway through, or they did last season.
Yeah, if the house is really smart, if the faithful is really getting people out, there's always going to be a traitor in until the end, because the producers just be like, pick another one, pick another one.
Yeah,
it's a little bit make it up as they go. Who are you guys, who are you rooting for to be selected as traitors going in? I wanted one of the challengers. Probably not Johnny, but like CT or Trisha, I think would have been really fun.
I'm not like a faithful challenge watcher, but so far I can't stand Trisha.
You don't have to be a faithful challenge watcher. If you were, you would feel the same way.
Because I'm like trashy Trisha is who she is in my head.
Yeah.
But I was Parvati or Sandra. I wanted one of those two. It would have been so fun if they both were, because I feel like it would have been, but maybe too much.
Too much. Especially after the Saree of it all from last season. It's like.
Yeah.
I wanted a housewife. So I'm glad.
I was happy with Phaedra. I think she's the only one that could handle the job.
I'm happy with Phaedra.
Not knowing much about her, she feels like she's playing it really well from the beginning. Like not taking charge right away, being very kind of cunning and like making Dan seem like he's making all the moves when actually is he really? We'll find out. Dan, he's fine. He's whatever. He was kind of just like the other Big Brother guy from last season, Chris. I don't even remember his name. Cody, I think. Was it Cody? It's like, whatever. Just like.
Well, I felt like he was like talking like such a big game. And I'm like, oh, you want to be so low profile. I feel like that's like the worst thing you want to be. Because the first thing people are going to notice is like, why isn't this guy saying anything?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to last.
I don't think so either. I think Phaedra will get his ass out.
No, there. I mean, the fact that like Larsa clocked him. I'm sorry, if Larsa Pippen is clocking you, you're doing a terrible job, dude.
I also wonder if Marcus, like, I feel like Larsa would not stay without Marcus in Scotland. I feel like they're probably in the hotel room together at night.
Sure.
Still.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, Larsa isn't coming up with these theories on her own. I feel like
that's
like she's going home and talking to Marcus.
We do get a Larsa moment, though, just immediately going after Parvati.
Huge mistake.
Huge mistake. And like, and Parvati was so smooth.
Oh, she's, I mean,
sending it right back over. It's just like.
She's a legend for a reason. But the best line, Larsa goes, my ears are so strong that I can feel the vibration of him lifting his jacket. Direct quote.
Like, girl.
Is she Dolores from Encanto? Like, with the ears. She's like, I have really good list. I can really hear really, really well. I have really great ears.
Really good hearing, guys.
I can hear pins drop. Like, can you?
Parvati cuts right back. She's like, you're barking up the wrong tree. And then the funniest visual, I don't know if you guys caught this, but Parvati's like, they're all getting up. And Parvati's looking at Larsa like, you're barking up the wrong tree. She stands up and Larsa like pokes her in the armpit. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but I like clocked it. I'm like, what is happening here? What is going on? Like, it was just such a weird, like, what are you doing? Like, you're literally like poking the bear, like literally.
I know.
I mean, Lars is like a nightmare. I feel like she is like a contrarian. She'll just fight for the sake of fighting. I also thought it was insane. Who was it that was like, John, you breathed really weird.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Janelle.
I'm like, he's an old man. What are you doing? Like, what the fuck? That was the dumbest thing. The fact that they kept bringing... And then Tamara being like, if he had asthma, he would have his inhaler for me when we're on this run.
Yes.
I'm like, detective judge to the arena. Yeah.
There were a couple moments where I'm like, do we really need to spend so much time on breathing gate? Because it keeps coming back up. So the next thing that happens is the first mission. I think the less time spent on the missions, the better. They're fine. They're whatever.
Well, this is what I want to say about the missions. There's absolutely no way they did that in 40 minutes.
No way. That was like, just edit magic. Like,
it's just, I was just like, okay, show.
Yeah.
But also seeing Janelle just like pop right off that thing and just go straight for the shield. I was like, I mean, I guess that's what you gotta do.
Yeah. Yeah. So the only thing you need to know about the challenges are they work together to add to their prize pot. So they, with seconds left to go, they complete this challenge. It's basically like a bunch of people get in the water, pull a bunch of large puzzle pieces together, turn it into a shield, do it within 40 minutes. They win. The more important thing, though, is there's three shields up for grabs. So anyone during these challenges, during these missions, can kind of like go rogue and get a shield that will keep them safe from the banishment. So Janelle instantly gets a shield before anyone even gets in the water. And then while we're in the water, CT and Deontay both get a shield as well. So that's who is safe coming out of the challenge. Before we move ahead, one other moment that I had bolded. Can we also just talk about like how Alan Cumming is set up as the host here? Like constantly kind of like he'll introduce, but then like have a perch with his little binoculars, just kind of spying with a little dog.
I'm
or he's sitting on his like little couch.
Yeah.
With like, a thermos. Like a thermos of
and
something.
Just like his drop-ins are like always perfect. Like they're in the boats and one boat he's like Deontay, Marcus, CT, and Max. What an alpha boat, and literally bites his lip direct to camera. I'm like, just fucking love it, serving. And then we go back to the mansion. And I'm just like, so again with Phaedra, I'm just so impressed. She's like the queen of saying nothing, just a lot mm-hmm. of nods and ums and ahs. But mm-hmm. like, you could totally tell she's just like tracking everything. Like, she's mm-hmm. not missing a single beat. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what she did like in Girls Trip too. Like, she didn't participate in any of the drama, but she was very like in everything.
She knows what's going on.
Yeah. Love that.
And then just with that, and Moses was like, is that her real voice? And I was like, yeah. I mean, or else she's just really good at keeping on all the time, because I've never not heard her sound like that.
I love that. I think it's so fun.
And then we get this Peppermint and Trishel moment, and we get one of the first, and this is a classic like traitors thing that always happens. Someone will be like, oh, well, if I get banished, they're the traitor. That's how you'll know. If I go home, they're the person. So Trishel does this to Peppermint, literally because Peppermint's like, I want to wear some outfits. And Trishel's kind of like, well, if I go home, you're the traitor. And then has some sort of perceived reaction.
That, you know, I've had to go back and watch that again, because I was like, wait, it didn't feel like the response.
The response was nothing.
It was so overblown.
How anybody would you want her to respond?
Yeah. She just kind of makes like a kind of tongue in cheek, like, I'm shocked, but I'm going to like play it up a little bit. Peppermint reaction. And Trishel's like, oh my God, she was so weird. And it was so awkward. And like, she must be a traitor. And like,
yeah.
This is another moment that we keep coming back to. I'm like, why? Trishel, what are you doing? It has repercussions down the line. But in the moment, I'm like, Trishel, you're doing way too much.
I felt that too. But then when people started like listening to her, it felt like the only person that like was truly maybe having some sense about this was Max from Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah,
right. He was the one that was like, what, this is so stupid.
Yeah.
So midnight, it's time for bed. Trishel's still stirring the shit about Peppermint, yada yada. And then like the traitors get their cloaks.
The cloaks.
I love the cloaks.
The cloaks. Moses is like, should we have a traitors party so that we can have the yes, cloaks?
You should.
I love how camp this is. Like, Alan Cumming literally says, with the power vested in me by these ancient grounds, I now make you a traitor. I'm like, what are we talking about? I love it, though.
I was like, I didn't even know we had backstory yes. on the grounds yet.
And when Phaedra's like, I'm a killer.
Oh, my God. The queen of the traitors has arrived. I'm like, fuck yeah. They meet and discuss, and they kind of toss out, like, options. So Dan and Phaedra, they're talking about who the third traitor is going to be. They toss out John because he's loud. I love this. They toss out Ekansu, and Phaedra goes, no, keep her. Her brain is on vibrate. I'm like, incredible. Incredible.
Well, can we just rewind a little bit and say that Ekansu says in her first confessional that she's like, you know, people think that because I'm pretty, like, I'm just pretty, but like, you know, I have conspiracy theories. I love cartoons.
I believe in aliens.
Yeah, I believe in aliens.
I was like, Everything you just said.
You are so smart. You're right. We were all wrong.
Oh, man.
I was like, well, wait a minute. You really made your case.
Entertainment value on Ekansu is high. She's not going to do a damn thing in this game, but the entertainment value is there.
It's true.
Watch her end up winning.
Right. She'll get to the end. So the serious options, they come down to Sandra. She's got good gameplay. Parvati, because she might be a good shield, which I think is smart. Janelle, they call her out as being tough and loyal. And then they briefly also think that maybe it's Larsa they want to make a traitor. And
I was like,
okay.
Wait, just a second. Can we just like talk about like the stylized B-roll that plays of all the contestants as
in bed?
They're talking about
oh my God, I love
Larsa
it.
Sitting with the heart-shaped framed photo of Marcus. Like, yes. I was like, this is new for me.
Parvati with her ear up against the wall making faces. I'm like, yeah. It's giving acting. You know what I mean? Like, we're all actors.
Yeah, it's giving like improv warm-ups.
Yeah, exactly. But then that's first episode ends with the big tease. Who's going to be the third traitor? So that was the first episode. Any overall thoughts on this episode? They kind of set you up to immediately roll right into the second one, which we can mm-hmm. do. But yeah. Anything that we missed from this first episode that you guys...
There was, just going back to Sandra again, there was a comment that she made, like, as they're all kind of, this is after the challenge, I think, and they're all, like, in their little groups, like, chatting, and they're, like, going through people, and she goes, well, what about Max? And Sandra goes, he's irrelevant.
I know.
Finger on the pulse.
Sandra is, like, literally, she really does. Who did you guys want to be the third traitor?
I think I was think I wanted CT.
I think CT would be really good at it, but
I also feel like Parvati, as I got, because I've only just getting to know her in this episode. I don't know anything about her from Survivor, but I was like, she seems wily.
She seemed, I wanted her or Sandra.
Or Sandra. I agree.
But I feel like Sandra would also stab the other traitors in the back. Like, if I was a traitor, I wouldn't want to be one with Sandra because I feel like she would pull something at the end to like get rid of me.
Yeah. So that brings us to episode 2, Welcome to the Dark Side. It starts with the reveal of who the third traitor is. And then it turns out it's Parvati. And I screamed. I'm like, fuck yes. She's like, electricity is popping in my chest. I'm like, time to put on the devil horns. I'm like, yes, now we're talking. I love it. Let's go.
Literally, I'm like, time to put on the devil horns from someone that you know is actually going to do that.
Yeah.
Is so amazing.
I mean, the producers must have loved it because they're like, this is why you cast someone like Parvati, is to put her in this position. But I like that they didn't just upright give it to her from the jump. They kind of made the other traitors also realize, which I loved. But the twist is, so Parvati now knows she's a traitor, but won't meet her other traitors until the following night. So she has a whole day of like trying to be sneaky, but figured out who picked her. In the meantime,
I
thought that was really good. I like this twist of like,
it would have killed me. Like when her and Dan are having conversations, I'm like, I wish that I could be someone that like will wait so that the reveal is so much better. Cause I would have been like, so you got any letters last night?
I mean, I loved that Parvati was the traitor. Like she stole my heart from the moment that she deflected Larsa's accusation at the round table. And she did that. And I was like, I like you. We're going far.
I would, if I was on the show though, I would assume Sandra or Parvati was one of the traitors from a, like if I was a producer, like in my head, I would be like, they had to have made one of these people.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so what happens next? They got to murder someone.
They have to murder someone.
So they bring up, this is where Dan's like, I could sway Phaedra, and Phaedra in interviews is like, yeah, I'm going to trust his judgment. And you could tell it's like, for now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, that like really turned me from Dan. I was just like, who do you think you are? That's so rude.
They tease Kevin, Bananas, and Peppermint. I'm like, that's an interesting mix of three people. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens. I don't know. Who are you killing? If you're in their position, if the three of us are traitors, who are we killing first?
I probably would have killed Kevin because I felt like they're like nobody. It's just so random. Like there'll be no discussion.
That's what if we're going for random, I would have. That's who I was thinking too, was Kevin.
They were saying like, yeah, let's be random. Kevin's a good one because you don't really make anybody mad. But I see where they're going with their eventual decision. So the next morning at breakfast.
Which can we just. I love the breakfast beat.
It's so good.
I love it.
Just, and I wrote down, I was like, is breakfast always going to be this lit?
Yes, it is.
Like, it was like a thing last season too.
Bucket list is to have breakfast in the Trader's Castle for me. Like, no joke. Like, I want to dine there.
And to be the first person downstairs.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I've also learned, is that you want to be in the first, that first wave, those first couple people to get in.
Which, by the way, trend, because they do this in the next episode too. They put a traitor in the first batch both times. Just a little bit of a trend I saw. One other thing before we get to the reveal is Phaedra dropping, like, you know, she's coming in as a traitor and she's keeping it under wraps. And she's like, she talks about that it's not a big deal because she's a lawyer and she keeps deadly secrets. And I'm like, big Survivor signal. So on Survivor, like literally lawyers will go on the show and hide the fact that they're a lawyer, because for some reason in the Survivor world, being a lawyer means you're the most manipulative, persuasive person ever. And if anyone catches whiff that you're a lawyer, they'll vote you out instantly. So the fact that Phaedra, they gave her a little lawyer moment, I'm like, Survivor signaling. I appreciate it.
Oh, wow.
So everyone shows up and it's down to those final three, Bananas, Peppermint, and Kevin. And then Peppermint and Kevin show up and Janelle screams, it's Bananas! And everyone loses their shit and Bananas is murdered and he's the first one out.
I was kind of bummed, honestly.
I was kind of bummed, but I'm like, would I like to see more Bananas, because like I'm a fan of his character and, you know, all that jazz? Yes. But I'm like, I kind of give them props for like going for the jugular from the jump. I'm like, well played, though. Like, well played.
Yeah. I was really surprised from a production standpoint too. I'm like, mm-hmm. It gives more validity to the fact, I think, that like production isn't involved in who's being murdered, because he would not have been murdered if that was the case.
I agree.
I felt disappointed though. I don't want him to win anything, but give me a couple weeks.
Well, and for me, I'm kind of getting used to how, like, what the strategy is with eliminating people in this game, because I'm like kind of thinking about the challenge where it's like, you want to keep around a couple of weak people to have, like, so that you can make it to the end and run the final against them. But you aren't like, I don't know. It's just like, you wouldn't get bit. Like, you would have gotten rid of Kevin.
Yeah. I mean, the reason to keep Johnny is the same reason that they ended up choosing Parvati as the third traitor. He's an incredible shield. He's going to have suspicions towards him the whole time.
Yeah.
So like, you keep him in the house, he's shielding your actual identity as a traitor. So,
yeah.
But then I also like the big shot and being like, wow, where are they coming from? Like, it mm-hmm. is just chaos, which I also enjoy watching.
Yeah.
That was nice.
I thought that Peppermint's reaction, though, as soon as she started talking, I was like, that's going to get her into trouble. When she was like, well, he was like, when she explained the thought process behind him going home, I was like, that's going to put a target on her back.
I clocked that too. She's like, he's difficult to control. And Marcus was immediately like,
sounds like a murderer.
Spoken like a true traitor. Yeah.
And the slip up of accidentally saying that she was a traitor, which someone did last season too.
Yeah. So yeah, let's get to that, because so first there's this mission, whatever. They split into three groups. They need to answer questions about their other cast in order to keep moving down the road, and then get to this field where they rip open scarecrows and try and find gold or shields. It was interesting though, because there were some questions along the way that were pretty revealing. The first one is, whose opinion do you value most, Marcus or Larsa? And Marcus won in a landslide. And everyone's like, oh, wow, he's really influential. We should keep an eye on Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was, who's the most popular player, Deontay or Peppermint? Everyone thought it was Deontay. Everyone was wrong. Turns out it is Peppermint.
I honestly would have thought Deontay too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last question was, who needs to speak up more, Dan or Sheree? And this is where Dan's game starts getting a little bit.
The cracks are starting to crack.
Mm-hmm.
Introverted Dan. Let's keep an eye on him.
I did love in this challenge watching the Housewives run. That was great.
The Housewives and the British minister who was waddling, I want to say.
Also, Tamara being like, I need her fake asthma attack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you own a fitness center. Like, she is like the most physically fit woman. Like, that's what she does.
Like, she did like bodybuilding competition.
I like that move though, because John doesn't know that. And she's like, in the moment, like, oh, I need an inhaler. John, where's yours? Aren't you asthmatic? He's like, no, I don't have one. I thought it was kind of clever.
It was clever, but I just don't. I'm like, the whole theory behind it was so dumb to me.
That's true. Yeah. The inciting incident was bullshit, but I like how she kind of was playing it out. Dan gets a shield. It won't matter because he's a traitor. And then we get back to the mansion. And this is where we're talking about Peppermint makes a big slip. She's like, listen, if someone were concerned about banishing a faithful, like literally just misspeaks. But in this game, that's all it takes sometimes. Like that's the quote unquote evidence that everyone needs to grasp onto. And it doesn't go well. We get to the round table and Max sticks up for her, and Sheree thinks it's more of a joking situation, but ends up kind of
following the herd,
following the crowd. Yeah. And so John gets two votes from MJ and Max. Trishelle gets a vote from Peppermint, and Peppermint gets all the other votes. And sadly, Peppermint is banished. How do we feel?
I mean, it was the mob mentality that got her.
Yeah.
And how somebody was like, I don't, you know, it's just all this like gossip and hearsay, and I'm not into the gossip and the hearsay. And it's like, bitch, like gossip and hearsay is how you find the traitor.
That is this game, right?
That's what we're doing. We're only going off of like the smallest thing that someone might have said. It's like, okay, it's probably them. Like, let's all get on board.
That's why, as sad as I was to see her go, I'm like, what else? There was nothing. It was the only thing really that was going around.
Yeah.
She should have, like, I wish she had done something better. She should have planted a seed on someone else or like made something up. Like last season, they would straight up lie about things.
I know. She didn't pivot fast enough.
Yeah. Like, I would have loved her to turn it back on Trishelle. Like, Trishelle, why are you making so much noise about this? This is a nothing moment, but you keep talking about it. What's your ulterior
motive? Are you deflecting? Why are you deflecting? It's just like she didn't like So I think that kind of shows that she didn't really have, maybe she didn't have the chops to stick it out, but she did have those little gloves.
Which I love. They also said how like she is a fan of like every, she's a huge reality fan. So she knows everyone's resumes and stuff, which is dangerous.
It is. Yeah, that's true.
I would pretend not to, like, if I was on, I would be like, oh my God, yeah, I think I've seen an episode of your show. Like, I would try to play it off like I didn't really know anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Peppermint takes her moment. She reveals she is the faithful. So this is the thing that happens after every banishment. They stand up and they reveal whether they're a traitor or faithful.
That's my favorite moment. And like the fact that she just like did that. Like this.
Oh,
like,
she took her space. She took her time for sure.
I did not want Peppermint to go, but part of me was like, I hope it's Peppermint because I wanted that moment of Peppermint being right.
Yeah.
It felt good.
And everyone's shocked. And Max just pitched at Trishelle, like, you did this. I want Trishelle's house to fall in on top of her. And I think that's going to be fun to watch when hopefully eventually happens.
I can't wait for it to happen. I want it to happen every time she's on any show.
Yeah. Then, then the end of the episode is teasing, you know, the traitors coming together this next night and, you know, the big reveal of Parvati finding out who her co-conspirators are. So that's how episode two ends.
And was it in episode two or was it in episode three at the beginning, the Deontay's reaction in the kitchen?
End of this episode,
poor man.
Yes, Deontay gets into the kitchen and it's just like, guys, do you think he's an empath?
He might be, because he was like,
yeah, I mean,
he was so distraught.
He's like, going after somebody is really tough, you know, like and this is the first of a couple moments later where he actually really gets in his feelings. But like, you kind of see the first glimmers here.
I think he also wasn't thinking at the time that like Peppermint was there representing this whole other community that he probably wasn't even thinking about. So I think when she said that, he was like, it must have just felt like shit and guilty that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He's like everyone else that has done this to Peppermint her entire fucking life and career. We did it the first fucking week that we could. So,
yeah, the very first vote out is the trans person of color. Good job, everybody.
And last year it was the gay guy.
Yeah, last year it was the gay guy too. Yeah.
Alan Cumming is like, get all of the other queers out of here. There can only be one.
That's great.
This is my castle.
Oh, man.
But Parvati's dating women now too. Sure, she has a girlfriend now since her divorce. Yeah. So now we're a stan even more.
Exactly. All right. So that brings us to episode three, Murder in Plain Sight. We start in the turret with the traitors. I love that they constantly mention the word turret.
The turret.
Like, they're always talking about that turret. I'm like,
I know.
Great. I love it.
And the guy with the long red beard that's like the groundskeeper.
Oh my God.
He was in last season too.
What's his name? I need to find his name. Because then he also had like sidekicks.
Is it Fergus?
Fergus, yes.
Okay.
Oh man. The flourishes on this show are just incredible. Like, it just really adds to the overall package.
Run that production designer, they're in me.
Yeah. Oh man. So in the turret, Parvati had no idea it was Dan and Phaedra. She's like, you know, they're being super savvy. You guys are killing it. She had no idea. And then so teasing for murder, they're like, okay, we can murder Deontay because he's probably going to get more shields. We can murder Marcus because he's smart and influential. But if we do Larsa, we'll lose it. Or we can murder Janelle because she's really connected and she's a gamer. So those are kind of like the three teases going into breakfast.
I thought it was going to be out of those choices. I thought those were three good choices. I thought that it was going to be Janelle just because like she's so obviously self-serving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I also just don't like her, but like, what's different for this show? Like, usually like on the challenge when I don't like somebody, I'm like, I can't wait till they're off the show. I can't wait. I need them off. Like, get them out.
Right.
And the people I don't like on this show, I'm like, you're probably going to like really wreak some havoc. You probably stay.
Yeah, I agree. It's like the Tamra effect where I'm like, I like hate you as a person, but I love that you're here.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I can't have you going home yet. You need to do more stuff.
Yeah. Chris, who did you think was going home?
I thought it was going to be Marcus or Larsa. I felt like it needed to be split up and it would have been dumb. I felt like it was dumb to keep the person that literally was just voted the most influential person in the house.
They set it up very clearly. I thought it was going to be Marcus too. And lo and behold, Marcus does not show up. Larsa absolutely dissolves into a bucket of tears.
Honestly, that was better than I thought it was going to be. I thought she was going to like quit the show.
But wait, though, as Deontay came in, somebody said, Marcus? And I was like, I'm going to go with they were just saying this because they saw everybody come in. They're like, Marcus isn't there. So somebody was like, it's Marcus. But like, maybe we didn't hear the it's Marcus. I was like, I'm going to try not to think that it was like the black guy walks in. It's like, it's Marcus. Oh, man. But also, what did you guys think of Dan coming in that like bright blue suit? Like that was his way of being like, look, I'm trying to stand out. Look at me.
I'm not so quiet after all.
I don't have to say anything to be loud.
Yeah.
He's trying too hard. I mean, obviously it affects him already in this episode. So I think his days are numbered.
I kind of hope so. But then it's like, is this just a repeat of last season where Cody kind of has a similar sort of like early break for one reason or another? It feels a little bit repetitive from last season if it follows the same script. That said, I hope you're right, though. I don't think he...
I don't know. We got Phaedra, though.
Yeah.
We got Phaedra and Parvati.
I feel like Phaedra and Parvati, like, that's going to... I cannot wait to see how that shakes out. And I don't... Dan can be a part of it or not.
When they show the, like, season trailer, like, coming up, whatever, I feel like there's moments that seem like it's just Phaedra and Parvati in the tower.
Interesting. In the turret, you mean.
The turret.
Oh, man. Marcus is murdered. And I also thought it was funny, like, the first time Alan comes in after Bananas is murdered, and what he normally does is what he does. He just, like, throws the portrait on the floor unceremoniously. But this time...
Which I love. I was hoping he was going to do something like that to Larsa.
Same. But he, like, has a soft spot. He, like, gifts it to Larsa and, like, here's something to remember him by. It's like, whatever.
I was hoping that, like, he was going to try to look like he's giving it to her and then was going to, like, snatch it away and throw it.
Yes.
That was what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
Okay. What happens next? Around the castle... Again, I love this show, like, just the reliable beats. After every big moment, you have around the castle, everybody chatting. Like, the flow of the show is just, I love it. Like, super, super, like, a comfy viewing experience from one moment to the next.
Well, Tamara gave me my favorite line of the show, of the episode, which was, let's put our housewife skills together. Let's go gather some red flags.
Yeah. She was like, we have to watch our back every day on our show. We should be good at this.
I'm like, it's not the same, though. That is the where I'm like, this is like such a different situation.
I also love it, too. Like, and you'll hear this a lot on the show. Like, it's similar to like the if this happens, they're definitely a traitor. Like, OK, whatever. But then people are also like, guys, we need to get serious this time. Like, we should actually get a traitor this time. It's like, no shit.
I know.
Just saying it out loud doesn't change your game at all. Be like, you know what, guys, I'm serious now. Like, we're seriously going to find traitors now. I'm like, OK. The next mission, this one was a little bit better and it had like a really good character moment for Bergie. This was the grave digging for gold.
The Bergie surprise in the graveyard I wrote down.
Yeah, Bergie surprise.
Oh, I also wrote down, did John get that shirt from Dan Flashes? From I Think You Should Leave.
Oh, man.
The shirt was doing too much and also like not enough.
John is just... in over his head. He can't do a damn thing right.
I also have written down, John isn't cut out for this.
No, he's not cut out for this life, for sure.
He's trying. I wonder how they, like, thought of him. Like,
I don't know.
How did this even happen?
I think because, like, the viral videos of him just yelling in the House of Parliament. They're like, oh, he's good energy. Let's bring him on.
Like,
and then he said yes.
Yeah. So what happens?
The Janelle and Ekansu fight. I wanted that to be a bigger fight. So like they both are going for the shield.
Yeah.
And Janelle, like I felt, and I wasn't watching it super closely, but I felt that Ekansu was getting it and Janelle like snatched it from her. That's what I think happened.
I think so too.
And because also Janelle's already shown herself to be like, she's going to get the shield at any cost. So like, why would I ever believe that you didn't do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wanted that to be a bigger fight. I really wanted Ekansu to go in on her. And she really like, she didn't do enough.
Yeah.
It's like, girl, like talk about how Peppermint like didn't defend herself that well. Like,
but they're all like afraid to like do a lot. I feel like still they're like afraid to be too definitive in their statements.
Yeah.
I feel like because they don't want it to turn back on them.
Yeah. Well, because that's true, though, like. This kind of like nothing fight again, where there's like between Ekansu and Janelle, they call like three votes. So it's like, yeah. I think, Chris, you're right. Like, you can't do too much because they'll latch onto anything as a reason to vote for you.
Literally. You know? But literally anything. Dan's not doing anything, so they go to him. It's literally any single thing.
Any single thing.
They can come for you for.
Yeah.
And also, Brandy, you should watch season one because of the Brandy Glanville of it all. And
okay.
She's just in the first, like, two episodes, I think. But she... Mm-hmm. Like, is also right about all of her predictions. And everyone's mm-hmm. like, Brandy's so crazy. But then she's right. And so they send her home. But it's a Good Housewives comparison to Tamra, who's wrong about everything she says.
Everything.
Tamra's like, it's in my gut that they're a traitor. And she hasn't been right about anything she said.
Doesn't need to be right this week, though, because she gets a shield. So does Peter. Forget his maybe Peter's Peter. Only moment was finding a shield in these whole first three episodes. Janelle mm-hmm. gets the third. But we need to take a moment here and talk about Berkey. Because I think going in, like, from the Love Island cast, people were like, why him? I'm starting to see why him. He's fucking adorable. Like, yeah. I want to root for that kid, you know?
He confuses me. It's like, why were you ever even on reality TV? Why aren't you just like working at Facebook?
He does not have like a Love Island look to him, but I don't think that the girl, what's her name,
Ekin-Su.
I don't think she really does either have like a Love Island vibe.
Berkey gets a moment. He figures out the pattern and is able to direct everyone, so they win a bunch of money, and it's like a very triumphant moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I was a traitor, I'd cut his throat, though, because I feel like he is so like cute and nice, and I'm like, they're gonna start listening to what this person says.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Time to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's also the sort of murder that everyone like, oh, we all loved him, why him? Like, it adds chaos and confusion as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, if you do it at this stage, the Ekin-Su and Janelle fight continues in the car home. Like, people are like taking sides.
Also, we see a perfect example of Phaedra's ability to stir the pot without actually doing it. When she's like, oh, she said that? If that was me, I'd say something. But like,
you're making your own decisions, baby.
I love it. I love the lighting a match and walking away.
Yeah. Here's something that I kind of forgot that it even happens, because it does bear out. But Peter hatches a plan that I will never understand. He's like, all right, Kevin, we're best buds, but we should vote for each other and pretend like we're not, and then traitors will keep us around. And I'm like, how and why does that make any sense? I don't get that at all.
How did you get there?
I must have missed that part, because when they voted for each other, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Why? Literally hatched a plan. It made no sense.
Like, I
though.
Saw them talking as I didn't see them say that. So I was like, I thought they just were like shaking hands and friends.
Yeah.
But that is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my entire fucking life. Right. What is the point of that?
That makes no sense.
Nobody was like, oh, wow, what a move. Everyone just kind of side-eyed Kevin like, okay, a throwaway vote. Great.
Yeah.
Like they both voted third party. Why?
But I mean, it does. There'll be another Kevin vote, but I think is fascinating, which we'll get to. The only other thing that happened is Deontay really gets on his horse and starts going after Max.
Deontay turned into a civil rights leader for like a second, like talking about like.
I would have done what he said, too. He was like, I'm like, this man is speaking. He knows.
It's very persuasive. Yeah. But also, Max was acting really weird. This whole episode, he kept like poking in and people like, yeah, come on, have a chat. And he just slinked back out again. Like, he was being very weird.
He did himself no favors.
He deserved to go. Yeah. I'm like, he was so bad at this game.
Mm.
I feel like he just didn't know what's going on. Sandra was, completely correct in her assessment.
He's irrelevant. Get him out of here.
Also, guys, just backing up a little bit, the processional song that is played as they walk to the round table, just in the many flourishes of the show.
I literally wrote this down because it's always the same song, though. And I'm like, after the third time, I'm like, this theme is hitting for me. Like,
that's when I finally wrote it down.
It fucking works.
It's a bop.
It's a bop.
The song of the summer.
at the round table, Dan stands up for himself. It's a crime to be quiet, so be it. But I think it's an asset.
I felt like he did pretty good.
He did. He defended himself well.
Yeah.
He maintained like not that he didn't get too defensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would have done it the same way. He made an argument for his behavior. He's like, listen, I want it to be known that when I speak, I fucking mean what I say. Mm-hmm. So if I'm quiet, that means when I speak, it means something. And that could be an asset. I'm like, Good twist.
Mm-hmm. I would have also, though, like, I'm like, that someone that's playing that game, I don't want around. Like, I want someone that's frantic and squirrely and saying everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We have a CT and Max moment. CT finally gets to stand up for himself and kind of, again, like, you could tell he's a seasoned player. He knows exactly what he's doing because he's like, Max, I'm going to blow up your whole game. What you're doing is every time someone says your name, you come after them. And we can all see it. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Mm-hmm. Deontay keeps pushing for Max. And then it turns out that even though Larsa calls out Dan again and is still uneasy, Max is banished with 10 votes. Dan gets 2 votes from MJ and Larsa. Ekansu gets 2 from Phaedra for the best reason. She goes, you incited an estrogen riot. Which I loved. Max also throws one at Ekansu. Kevin gets 2, one from Peter. Then the other one from Parvati, which I thought, like, Parvati in her bag, like, votes for Kevin is a throwaway, but not without writing a D and then crossing it out. Yeah. First.
Too much.
Like that it was going to be for Dan. I loved it. I'm like,
I would have been like, that's not real. You did not like the way it was crossed out. Everything. I was just like, you would have like fully crossed it out. Mm-hmm. If you actually didn't want someone to see what you had there. Like it felt staged. She's getting a little sloppy at this point. I feel like she's like,
I disagree. I think that was a shot at Dan. Like, Dan, fucking lock it up. You know what I mean?
Like, well, I think it was like a, no one will assume that he's a traitor. I think she was trying to do it as
that's
like,
what, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And she's like, and no one will assume that I am a traitor and I'm like standing up for him. I think it was like a two move thing. But last season, because they can vote traitors off. Like,
yeah, they
traitors
can.
Will turn on each other.
Yeah.
So I don't know. She's getting a little too like as someone that if you know who she is, and like if I was there, I would be obviously watching everything with laser eyes. And I'm like, I don't, she's playing a little too hard.
I like it though. Like, what does she hear if not to play a little hard? You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, yes. As soon as the game comes to her.
No, I mean, I'm just like worried for her.
That's fair. Yeah. But it didn't really go remarked upon. I think it was like just enough where it's like, oh, you'll catch eyebrows from the right people. You know what I mean? Like, I think it was just subtle enough that it could work. But I understand, like, yeah, like, I also want her to be safe and go to the end and hopefully win. Okay, so Max is banished.
Deontay has another breakdown. Is Deontay made for the show? This is her second time crying.
This man, someone call it a hospital. Like, I'm like, Phaedra wiping his tears.
I love her so much. I'm like,
God. Pretending to hold back tears of her own.
Yeah. Oh, she's great. It's fucking awesome.
I also feel like Phaedra is like horny. Like, she is like
all the time.
I'm like, where's your doctor boyfriend? Because you're being inappropriate.
She's constantly ready to get it.
The literally wiping of the tears had me. I thought it was great. Ekansu says, guys, it's time we caught a traitor. I'm like, again, no shit. I love it.
Like, shut the fuck up.
Guys, can we just get serious about this? And Moses was like, how will they ever, like, isn't it always just a stab in the dark?
Yeah.
Like, that would be the hardest part for me is, like, being nice because you can't be that mean and have people not get on your back. Like, with that, I'd be like, shut the fuck up. Obviously, that's what we're doing, you stupid ass. Like, ugh.
And then we get a twist, which I love the frequency we're getting these early season twists as compared to last year. Like, they're really making sure if you're a Traitors fan and have watched season one or some of the other franchises, you're still going to, we have stuff in store for you. So the twist is, it's the name of the episode. It's Murder in Plain Sight. So the traitors all get letters and they're like, you're not going to meet tonight. Instead, figure out how to communicate with each other. Find this hidden chalice hidden in some hollow Shakespeare books. And then someone needs to drink from the chalice and that will determine who gets killed. But then they also say it's a slow acting poison and we won't know when it will take effect, which leads Parvati to say, okay, now this is dark. But then 2 seconds later, and it's right up my alley. Let's go.
Because it is the very Survivor. Like, I feel like the having to get the glass, like, they make them on Survivor do this type of thing, like, for every fucking little thing that they do.
Yeah, it's like trying to find an idol clue, and it's like, oh, it's buried at camp. Good luck.
Yeah, then you find you find where they buried it, and then it's another note that's like, it's tied to a tree that is also where everybody goes to the bathroom. You have to do it while, like...
Yeah. Again, very interesting Phaedra choice, because Phaedra, her crew is the Housewives girlies, so she's not really like...
I love that she's like, I'm not going to talk to them because I don't talk to them.
Exactly. I thought that was really smart, kind of leaves it in Dan and Parvati's hands. So Dan and Parvati, they get the chalice. It's Black Widow time. Like literally, that's part of the... I think Dan says it, but she's like, fuck yeah, let's go. So Parvati has the chalice.
I also love that Dan, I feel like, wanted her because he wants her to do all of the dirty work.
I think he's a fan. Like, he's like...
Yeah. I'm like, he is like fangirling over her.
Yeah.
Which I would be the same exact way. I'd be like, yes, bitch, it's time.
Exactly. So Parvati, like, she goes through lengths. She's all over this thing. First, she's at the bar near John and Sheree.
But Phaedra like lets her know in no uncertain terms that this is not the one. This is not the time. This is not the person. You're not doing this.
Right. A little bit of not on my watch energy. Parvati realizes that, pivots, relocates to the kitchen. So she had when her and Dan were talking, they're like, maybe John, maybe MJ, because MJ suspects Dan, maybe Sheree, because Phaedra will never let us vote her out. So maybe now's the chance. That doesn't work. So now she finds herself next to MJ, but she's like, MJ's not going to drink out of this, quote, this rusty old cup.
Like, MJ is a Shaw of Sunset.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like she should have just switched the glass and hoped that she accidentally took a sip and then been like, oh, that's mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you got to just make it look like an accident.
Yeah.
Or I'd be like, let's take shots. Oh, we don't have enough glasses. You have to take it out of this one.
Yeah. And you kind of get that vibe. Like, what are you drinking? I'm going to take this. Like, she was kind of making it a what's everybody drinking type of thing.
That's also where I was feeling like she was getting a little sloppy, where she's like, I'm playing bartender. Here's a water, Sandra.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
And Sandra was eyeing her ass too. Like, Sandra knows she's up to something. That makes me nervous. I think you're right.
I also would not be drinking alcohol. Like, I would pretend to be drinking.
Yeah, that's
because I'm like, as soon as you get sloppy, if I was a trader, I'd be like, I got it. Like, it would kill me not to say.
Yeah, this is so hard. What's so hard? Yeah. So Parvati hones in. This is the big T. She's like, I found my target. So I paused and I clocked everyone in the room. So here's who is in this group. It's Janelle. It's Bergie. It's Peter. It's Ekansu. Trishel. Dan is also there, but obviously, I don't think... he can drink from the... I don't think that counts. So between Janelle, Bergie, Peter, Ekansu, and Trishel, who's the target?
Trishel.
The camera cuts make us want to think it's Peter. So I think Peter's safe.
I know that because like at first I was like, why was I thinking that it was Peter? Because like that also
the camera
like,
kept cutting to him.
It's definitely not Peter because they showed the clip where Phaedra is like reading him to filth. Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and there's also something else, like, he runs up to somebody, he's like, it's happening, so he survives. I think, unfortunately, I think it's Bergie. I think he's just a little, little soft-headed, and, you know.
And he probably, you know what, and he probably is he's the easiest person in that room.
She's like the dumbest person in the room.
I think he's the easiest mark. I think Bergie is gonna drink from the cup.
She's also like, in this moment, it feels like she's like, whoever, it doesn't matter, I just have to get anybody to do it.
Yeah.
So
and he's the easiest anybody.
Yeah. So that's three episodes. So at the end of three episodes, our traitors are Phaedra, Dan, and Parvati. We have Bananas and Marcus murdered. We have Peppermint and Max as the banished. And they've won like $65,000 so far towards the prize pool.
Which is what Larsa makes on OnlyFans in like 2 days. I'm like, why are you here? Literally, she says she makes $10,000 a day selling feet pics on OnlyFans.
Get the fuck out.
But I mean, just to me, the $250,000, like when he revealed that as the sum, I was like, is that a lot?
Not like for them. That's why I'm like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
All right. So to end the episode, we got to do a little bit of BFF, a little bit of best favorite forever in here. So we're going to get chat through all these, but I want to know three things. What was the best move by a trader? Who is your favorite faithful? And what's the moment from any of these three episodes that you'll remember forever. So let's start with best move by a traitor. So like, what was the best strategic move from the traitor side in any of these three episodes? I think it's picking Parvati. I think it works for them. Mm-hmm. I think it works for us, the audience. Like 10 out of 10, no notes. Bringing in Parvati, making that choice, that would be my pick.
I think killing Johnny Bananas first. I feel like that was just like a bold first move to make. Like, and nobody would have seen that one coming, just like figuring he would just be around for a few episodes.
Right.
But I agree too. Parvati was a stroke of genius for them.
Yeah. I feel like Marcus was probably one of the best too, because to split up him and Larsa and to get rid of somebody that was so well respected.
Yeah. I think that was really like effectively reading the room in real time and like adjusting, like, oh shit, people really trust Marcus. Let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
All good ones. Okay. Who's our favorite faithful as of this moment?
I love Bergy.
I mean, probably Sandra, because I love Sandra.
I'm between Sandra and CT.
Oh, I love CT.
I really want them to like come together. Like a Sandra CT alliance to sniff out traitors is just, that's fireworks for me. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be excellent.
Yeah.
That would be.
It's kind of sad that we don't get to see Sandra be a traitor, but who knows? Maybe it'll come.
There's always a late stage recruitment. You know what I mean? One traitor will be ousted and then they're going to need to get up to three again at some point. So you never know.
Yeah. And I could see Parv and Phaedra being like, let's pull in Sandra if they have the option.
Yeah. Because you know Sandra will say yes too. Because that's you got to say
she
yes.
That's all she wants.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, last question. The moment you'll remember forever from these three episodes.
I know mine.
Go for it.
Larsa with the framed photo of Marcus during like the stylized B-roll as they're talking about who they should murder.
Mine is Phaedra hugging Larsa and consoling her after Marcus went home. Like I feel like that's like killing somebody's spouse and then going to their funeral and hugging them.
Yeah, that's really good. Mine is the one from early on that like I don't think literally anybody else saw, but it's Larsa poking Parvati in the armpit as she leaves the table after the traitors are picked the first time. I'm like, what? This is burned into my brain. So weird and so funny.
Maybe they'll do a callback to it, Dan. Maybe you clock something that's gonna really matter in a couple episodes.
Right. All right, last thing. Any predictions, Chris? If we don't get you back on the rest of the season, what are your predictions for the season?
My predictions, I don't know. It's kind of hard now. I feel bad that I'm always rooting for the traitors to win. But
I am too. Like, of course you are.
Yeah. I honestly think it's going to be Parvati and Phaedra at the end.
Do they turn on each other? Does Parvati go full villain?
I don't think, because if it gets down to just like three of them and they get rid of I don't know. I think I'm going to try to manifest that they team up.
Okay. Which of the faithfuls will make it to the end?
Maybe Larsa.
Janelle, because I feel like she goes for the shield every single time. Like, I feel like if she makes it to the end, that's why.
I feel like nobody thinks Larsa is a traitor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see Larsa going far. I could also see Deontay going far. I think people like him. And I think that he kind of like got a little bit too like pushing the narrative early and now he'll kind of step back a little bit.
See, I think Deontay is the next to go.
Oh, you think so? Or is it just the game will weigh on him too much and he'll just crack?
He already has cracked twice.
And he's so influential. So I feel like it would be smart to get rid of him.
And like the way that he just sold Max, just delivered that whole performance, I would be very nervous with him, like who he's going to turn that rhetoric on next. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like he convinced the room.
I could see Trishelle hanging around because people might not like her. Like the right people won't like her. And then a certain group of people will and they'll keep her safe. So Trishelle could go far. I also think Ekansu could go far. Just like literally flying under the radar and having no influence or anything. That's a ticket to the end.
Yeah, she's made zero impression on me.
Yeah. Unless I would kill her so that people would think that Janelle.
Yeah, good Mr. X.
Yeah. Oh, that is really good. Then that gets rid of Janelle. Even though except I'm telling you, that bitch, like, she's always going to get the shield. I feel it's going to be between her and Tamara, but like, because I forget that Tamara is athletic, so she can do well in these challenges.
Yeah. But maybe like the first time she doesn't have a shield, they'll be like, let's get her now.
I agree. All right. Well, that's a wrap on our first ever recap episode. Chris, thanks so much for joining us on this new experiment.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, this is so fun.
Yeah. What are you up to, Chris? Where can people listen to you, find you, all that jazz?
Just go to Fat Carrie Bradshaw on Instagram and the links are there.
Wonderful.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
We love it.
Love it. Well, until next time. Bye, friends.
Bye, friends.